From KTOO, I'm Katie Anastas with a look at local and statewide news. Members of the State House and Senate are working out the details of a wide-ranging education bill. It's been one of the biggest priorities of the session for leaders of both chambers, and they say they've been able to find some common ground. But as Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, they're still far apart on one key issue: how much to increase state education funding.
On most of the sprawling education bill, the House and Senate are seeing more or less eye to eye, at least according to Representative Craig Johnson, an Anchorage Republican.
I think probably 85%, maybe more. We're more than close. We're in alignment. Maybe not in total agreement, but at least alignment.
But as anyone who's ever done a home improvement project can tell you, that last 15% is a heavy lift. Here's Senate Rules Chair Senator Bill Willikowski, an Anchorage Democrat.
The issues that are remaining are big issues, and we don't have an agreement on the BSA, which is probably the biggest one, for example.
The BSA is the base student allocation. That's the base per student education funding, which has been at the center of debate since the legislative session began in January. The bill offered by the House majority includes a $300 increase. Senators have said they want substantially more. Last year, the House and Senate agreed to one-time funding equivalent to more than twice that $300 increase, and advocates for local school districts are asking for an increase of more than $1,400. Senator Jesse Bjorkman, a Nikiski Republican, says a significant bump in education funding is essential.
If we expect our students to have at least the same as what they do now, or hopefully better, educational opportunities and outcomes, we need to invest more in our K-12 educational opportunities.
And students, teachers, school board members, and administrators have been crowding the halls of the Capitol as the two sides work towards a deal, testifying on Monday to the Senate Education Committee on the need for more state funding.
There are only so many branches you can cut from a tree before it dies. Alaska education is to the stump.
Maggie Grenier is a student at Nikiski Middle High School on the Kenai Peninsula, and she says some key programs are on the chopping block.
At the current levels of education funding, my school will lose this middle school student council, our high school student council, world language, music or art, advanced classes, a CTE class, middle school musical theater, and at least one high school and middle school sport, and our assistant principal position and two teachers.
And the situation is even more dire in Sleep Mute, a village of less than 100 on the banks of the Kuskokwim River. Student Kylie Hayden told senators her school has been condemned and is at risk of collapse because lawmakers failed to provide money for a new roof.
We need major repairs to our school, but here's why we can't just fix it on our own. We have no way to get the extra money. We have no tax base in our region to draw from, so the only thing our district can do to address the problem on their own is to take money away from things like curriculum and staff and direct it towards maintenance issues.
The next step for the House education bill is to move to the House floor, though it's unclear when it'll get there. But Johnson, the House rules chair, says he's not expecting all of his caucus's priorities to be included.
You know, there may be one issue that we don't agree with, but overall the package has got enough in it that we could maybe hold our nose and votes on some of the stuff we don't like.
And Senate President Gary Stevens says the bipartisan Senate majority is open to a deal.
This is the place where compromises are made.
No one seems ready to predict when those compromises will come together. And even if lawmakers do, it's unclear what's ahead if the bill passes. Johnson says talks on the bill to this point have not involved the governor's administration. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
The U.S. Senate passed a $95 billion foreign aid bill on Tuesday, and both Alaska senators voted yes. The bill has money for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. Senator Dan Sullivan says it will fight authoritarian aggression globally and also rev up America's ability to make weapons, ammunition, and warships.
Over $50 billion of this bill will be directly into our industrial base to defend ourselves. Working class Americans, America's national security will benefit.
Sullivan and Senator Lisa Murkowski were among 22 Republicans who voted with most Democrats to pass the bill after an all-night filibuster by right-wing Republicans. For Sullivan, it's a bit of a turnaround. Last week, he voted against advancing a similar foreign aid bill that included border security measures. Former President Donald Trump urged Republicans to reject it. Sullivan says the border measures didn't go far enough, but he's been a stalwart supporter of sending military aid to allies under threat. That puts him at odds with more conservative and Trump-aligned Republicans in Congress, who oppose spending more money to help Ukraine fend off Russia's invasion. In a speech on the Senate floor Friday, Sullivan said failing to help Ukraine would encourage China's leadership and aggressive dictatorships around the world.
American credibility is not divisible. You can't say we're going to be real strong in the Taiwan Strait, but, you know, no problem in Ukraine or with Israel. These authoritarians are working together, and we need a strategic response to this very dangerous period.
The bill goes next to the House, where Speaker Mike Johnson says he's opposed to it because it does nothing to improve security at the U.S. border. He helped kill the prior version of the bill that did have border security measures. Alaska lawmakers heard overwhelming opposition to a bill last week that would allow electronic monitoring in state fisheries. As KFSK's Hannah Flohr reports, most of the fishermen and industry representatives were concerned with the cost to fishermen.
Senate Bill 209 and its companion bill in the House would allow the state's Board of Fisheries to require electronic monitoring in state fisheries. The program would be managed by the State Department of Fish and Game. Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang told the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee the bill is meant to create another tool for fisheries enforcement.
I think the question comes down to right now the only tool that the board has when they're concerned about a fishery and the potential for some kind of violation occurring in that fishery is to put an observer on board the boat. They don't have any other option. So I think adding this tool to the toolbox gives the board another option.
The bills were introduced last month by Governor Mike Dunleavy. They would make it possible to use electronic monitoring in place of mandatory observers aboard fishing vessels. Currently, only a few state-managed fisheries require observers. Vincent Lang said that the small size of many fishing boats makes it difficult to find space for an observer.
Clearly, on a small boat, electronic monitoring would not inconvenience the boat operator by having to bunk that person and have them on the deck space while they're fishing. So like a seine boat, you know, there's limited bunk space and there's limited deck space when you're running the same gear. That would be an opportunity not to inconvenience that boat owner with those kinds of presences on the deck.
And he said the price tag of electronic monitoring would be significantly cheaper than the cost of observers. Fishermen have to pay to have observers on their boats. They would also have to pay for the electronic monitoring equipment, which is estimated to cost roughly $17,000 to install, plus $5,000 in yearly maintenance. Senator Forrest Dunbar, an Anchorage Democrat, said that since very few state-managed fisheries require observers, it's inaccurate to compare the cost of observers to the cost of electronic monitoring.
It's not really we're reducing costs from observer to electronic. We're sort of going from nothing to electronic monitoring, which would be potentially a significant increase in cost for these boats.
Tracy Welch is the executive director of United Fishermen of Alaska. She told the committee the group opposes the Senate bill, in part because of the expected cost to fishermen. She said she's concerned that many fishermen cannot afford those costs, especially given the current state of the seafood industry. And she says there's another problem. If electronic monitoring is mandatory, equipment failures could mean that fishermen would not be able to fish until the equipment is repaired.
I talked to one of my board members yesterday who is currently facing equipment issues for a cod fishery, and he is currently waiting for someone to come to his boat to fix it, and he cannot leave until that happens. So if this is really about enforcement, can we possibly put more money towards enforcement rather than electronic monitoring?
Charlotte Levy spoke for the Aleutians East Borough. She spent the last 6 years working with fishermen in the region to develop an electronic monitoring, or EM, program in the federal fisheries.
I can't stress enough that EM programs are very complicated. They are resource intensive and just as burdensome as observer programs and should be given the same rigorous setting prior to considering a new program.
She said that the federal electronic monitoring programs were based on existing observer programs.
The state currently does not have this level of infrastructure, and it's worth considering what types of resources and funding the state has to develop a new monitoring program where none currently exist.
All comments, both verbal and written, expressed opposition to the bill as it is currently written. Most were concerned with the potential cost of the program to fishermen. Some cited concerns with government overreach and surveillance. The Senate bill remains pending in the Labor and Commerce Committee, A similar bill in the Alaska House has not yet received a hearing. In Petersburg, I'm Hannah Flohr.
It's 36 degrees and partly cloudy at the Juneau International Airport. Tonight should be clear with a low around 20 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 37 degrees.